I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn, please, to John chapter 3. I guess I maybe should say your notes if you prefer that. Doesn't matter. We're going to explain this text if we can tonight. We're going to try to. And so I want you to be ready to go. We're going to talk tonight about true and false wisdom. True and false wisdom. There is a lot of false wisdom out circulating these days. Unfortunately, lots of people are swallowing it, and it's too bad that they do, but it is not unusual. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, James deals with true wisdom, which comes from God, and with false wisdom, which comes from the earth. By their good lifestyle, wise people should show their works with a practical wisdom characterized by humility. Wisdom they receive from God will not result in bitter jealousy and strife. By contrast, the sort of wisdom which produces jealousy and strife is earthly rather than heavenly. It is characteristic of the natural or unsaved man rather than of the spiritual man or saved man. It is also demonic in nature. Wherever envying and strife are present, disorder and everything evil are also found. By contrast, heavenly wisdom is holy, peaceful, kind, compliant, compassionate, fruitful, impartial, and sincere. And righteousness is being sown peacefully by those who make peace. By the way they live, wise people will show a wisdom that is characterized by humility. James 3:13 reads, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Verse 13 introduces a section on wisdom by asking who is a wise man and by urging him to demonstrate his wisdom by his lifestyle. Unfortunately, that's how people do demonstrate their wisdom or their lack of wisdom, and it's by their lifestyle. You've been around people that demonstrate a terribly rotten life, and they do it by the way they live. You've been around people that demonstrate a godly life, and they have that wisdom that comes from God. Who is a wise man is simply who is wise. Man here is not limited to adult males. And it may include females. It's the generic term for man, for human being. Wise suggests learned and pertains to understanding that results in intelligent attitudes and conduct. And who is endued with knowledge suggests who is expert, who is learned, or who is understanding. Among you limits this wise and learned person to being a part of the saved Jews in the dispersion, because that's the ones to whom James is addressing his letter. However, it could also apply to you and to me. A wise and understanding man will demonstrate his wisdom by his lifestyle. So I ask you, what is your lifestyle demonstrating about your wisdom? Good question. You can answer that better than I can for yourself. Let him show. This is one of those third person imperatives for which English does not have any equivalent. It simply means he must show. He must point out, or he must make known, he must explain, or he must prove out of a good conversation. Now, we use this term conversation to describe our talk, but here the word means our walk rather than our talk. It has to do with our good way of life, our good conduct, or from our good behavior. What are you showing from your conduct or from your behavior? What he is to show is his works, meaning his deeds or his actions. And he is to show this with meekness of wisdom, which means with wisdom characterized by gentleness or by humility or by courtesy or by considerateness. It's a practical wisdom rather than an arrogant or know-it-all kind of wisdom. So where will you find this sort of wisdom? Well, the answer is not hard to come up with. This sort of wisdom is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, since all of them are hidden in Christ, there are none that are going to really be found any place else. Furthermore, you may or may not be aware that Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 36 indicate that Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom, which means that much that is said of wisdom in Proverbs 8 is also true of Christ. It sort of pictures Christ. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She, meaning wisdom or understanding, standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She, meaning wisdom or understanding, crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, unto you, O men, I, meaning wisdom and understanding, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man, meaning to all humanity. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wisdom speaks truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Sounds like when you're listening to an awful lot of people, there's absolutely no wickedness. There's absolutely no wisdom in them, because all that comes out of their mouths is perverse. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction. That's it, wisdom speaking. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom and knowledge are better than silver and better than fine gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward or the perverse mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, that means advice, sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I, that's wisdom, love them that love me, and those that seek me early, meaning diligently, shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable or enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. Wisdom is the speaker. Remember, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of just judgment, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever, meaning before the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I, that's wisdom, was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I, that's wisdom, was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. As I read that, I cannot help but think of how many educated fools we have in our country. People who have no wisdom, but they think they're really, really smart. But God calls them fools. I prefer God's definition of them rather than their own claims. Well, as we go on, not only do we see that wise people will, by the way they live, show a wisdom that is characterized by humility, but we also see that wisdom from God does not result in bitter jealousy and strife. Somehow a lot of people are characterized by bitter jealousy and strife, and it shows that they have an absence of this wisdom that comes from God. Verse 14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Bud is introducing a statement in mild contrast to one showing out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. And this statement is found in the form of a condition. The condition is assumed in the Greek text for sake of discussion to be true. Whether it's actually true of a specific individual is not clear, and therefore if should be understood in the sense of assuming that. Ye have, where ye is you plural and refers to James' readers, indicates a present possession. When you have something, you've got it in your possession. Bitter envying, where bitter pertains to being bitter in feeling or in attitude, is bitter envy. Embittered jealousy or harsh jealousy. Listen to what people have to say. You'll find that they want things that belong to other people. They're envious. They're jealous. They wish they could have it. Also, and strife is, and contentiousness, and selfishness, or and selfish ambition. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, meaning deep within you. The conclusion of this conditional statement is, glory not and lie not against the truth, where against the truth is actually understood with both glory not and with lie not, so that it means glory not against the truth and lie not against the truth. If someone has bitter envying and strife in his heart, he should stop glorying and stop lying against the truth. In the Greek text, glory not is what is referred to as a present imperative. Now, an imperative is a command, and it's with a negative, the not, which indicates that its action is already going on and needs to be stopped. It's understood in the sense of stop glorying. Well, what does glorying mean? It means stop boasting or stop bragging. And lie not, it's also an imperative that is actually going on and its action needs to be stopped. It's understood in the sense of stop lying against the truth. It suggests that they were denying the truth by their lies they were telling themselves, and that they were thereby deceiving themselves. Although we have seen that wise people will, by the way they live, show a wisdom that is characterized by humility, and that wisdom from God does not result in bitter jealousy and strife, in verse 15 we see that wisdom that is earthly rather than heavenly is characteristic of the natural man rather than of the spiritual man, and is demonic in nature. This wisdom descendeth not from above, according to verse 15, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. In verse 15, James continues his statement that wisdom from God does not result in bitter jealousy and strife. This wisdom in verse 15 is wisdom, however, which produces bitter envy and contentiousness. Descendeth not, is it's not coming down, or it's not descending. And this is a timeless truth, something which is true at all times under all circumstances. It is not coming down from above, which suggests that this wisdom which produces bitter envy and contentiousness, is not coming down or descending from heaven or from God. Do you suppose some of our politicians would do well to learn James 3, 13 through 18? I'm convinced that they don't have a clue about it for the most part. Bud is introducing a strong contrast to the wisdom which comes down from above, the heavenly wisdom. This wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And they describe the wisdom that produces bitter jealousy and strife. Earthly suggests that this sort of wisdom pertains to the earth rather than to heaven where God dwells. It does not come from God or from heaven. Sensual suggests pertaining to the soul or pertaining to life. And it is denoting the life of the natural world, meaning of the unsaved world, in contrast to the supernatural world, which is characterized by spirit. It is unspiritual. Now, this word sensual is used three times in the New Testament. James 3:15 is one of them. It is also used in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and in Jude 19. This word translated in James 3:15, translated sensual, is translated natural in 1 Corinthians 2:14, and it's translated sensual in Jude 19. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." The natural man is speaking of unsaved humanity. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. It's impossible for him to know them because they are spiritually discerned. He doesn't have the spiritual apparatus to perceive them. You know, you have an FM radio and you want to pick up an AM station. You can't do it, or vice versa. It's on the wrong frequency. Jude 19, "These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit." The Spirit there is the Holy Spirit. "They do not possess God, the Holy Spirit." Now you know, and I know, that everyone who has put his trust in Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior immediately receives the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells that person for the rest of that person's life. But these are people who do not have the Holy Spirit. Sensual means physical or soulish. The same word is translated natural in 1 Corinthians 2:14, where the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They have no new spiritual nature because they have never been saved. Hence, they are further described in Jude as having not the Spirit, which means that as unsaved individuals, they do not possess the Holy Spirit. And of course, this is reminiscent of Romans 8:9, which we looked at not too long ago, where we are told, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Someone who does not possess God the Holy Spirit has never been saved and does not belong to Christ. Devilish suggests demonic in nature. And believers should never seek this sort of wisdom. We've seen that it's not good to have bitter envying and strife in your heart, because wherever envying and strife are present, disorder and everything evil is also found. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There suggests in that place, and suggests wherever envying or jealousy and strife or selfish ambition is or are present or exist, there is confusion and every evil work. There is confusion suggests there's disorder or there is unruliness, and there is every evil work suggests there is everything evil. Where you have envying and strife, you don't want that situation. What's going on in our schools? Envying and strife? Our universities? Our political arenas? Envying and strife. Although envying and strife produce disorder or unruliness and everything evil, in verse 17, we see that in contrast to what earthly wisdom produces, heavenly wisdom produces good things. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that comes from the earth, from unsaved humanity, isn't worth shaking your finger at. But the wisdom that is from God is good. But introduces a contrast between what the earthly wisdom produces and what the heavenly wisdom produces. The wisdom that is from above suggests the wisdom that is from heaven, or from God himself who dwells in heaven. It is heavenly wisdom in contrast to earthly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. It means that it is holy. The wisdom that is from above is also peaceable, meaning it is peaceful. The wisdom that is from above is in the third place gentle, means it's yielding or kind. Can you be a big, strong man and still be kind? If you have God's wisdom, the answer is absolutely yes. Why aren't some men kind to their wives? Don't blame it on the wife. The man can be kind whether she's kind or not. But the answer is they're unsaved. They don't have heavenly wisdom. It'll change your life. As I go through this, I cannot help but think of a parallel passage of the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on. In the fourth place, the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated, meaning obedient, compliant, reasonable, willing to yield. Would you rather talk to somebody who's going to listen to you and consider what you have to say, or somebody that's unreasonable, unwilling to yield? Look, if we're wrong, we're wrong. We make mistakes. Sometimes we set the oven temperature wrong. Sometimes we don't get gas the last station and should have. You know how that goes. We want to be very careful that we have good reasoning abilities. In addition, the wisdom that is from above is full of mercy or compassion or compassionate and of good fruits. It's full of results, outcomes, products. It is very fruitful. You like what it produces. The wisdom that is from above is without partiality, means it's impartial. Finally, the wisdom that is from above is without hypocrisy. It means it's sincere or genuine. As you look at your life, which kind of wisdom is characteristic of you? The earthly wisdom or the heavenly wisdom? Now, I know none of you is looking for a new spouse. But if you were looking for a new spouse, would you rather have one characterized by the heavenly wisdom or by the earthly wisdom? As you look at your own life, which kind of wisdom is characteristic of you? Is it the earthly wisdom or the heavenly wisdom? As we draw this message to a close in verse 18, we see that righteousness is being sown peacefully by those who make peace. Verse 18 reads, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them which make peace." And the fruit of righteousness is the fruit which is righteousness, or you might say it's righteousness itself. Is sown suggests is being sown. Its action is ongoing. It's happening all the time. In peace suggests it's sown peacefully. It's in contrast to envying and strife in verse 14, which produce confusion and everything evil in verse 16. And it's of them that make peace, which suggests it is sown by those who make peace. It is in contrast to those characterized by bitter envy, embittered jealousy or harsh jealousy, and by contentiousness, selfishness, or selfish ambition in verse 14. God's wisdom is readily available. You can have it. You'll find it in the scriptures. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and make it your life's ambition to master the scriptures. The scriptures will in turn master you. And when they do, you will have God's wisdom. Which wisdom characterizes us? It needs to be the wisdom from God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this opportunity and privilege we have of being here in thy house this evening and studying this portion of thy word. And help us, our Father, to pursue after this wisdom that is from above and to have our lives characterized by righteousness rather than by all that the world has. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.